In the English. Yeah. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. Oh, you're looking at the top.
Yeah. 194 on top.
194 on top. 383 at the bottom. Okay. We're all the way at the bottom of the page. Well, mamash, the last words on the page. It's by you, 194 on top. Okay, what is Alter Rebbe explaining? How you break yourself to be able to come to the level of tshuva. Okay, so he says a little bit is by fasting, we don't do this. But the main thing is to break evil. And therefore he says, when we say in the Pasuk in Hallel, the dead people cannot praise you, we're not making fun of the dead people. We're talking about the wicked people that are called dead. So what does a person who sins realize, to wake them up, that instead of living from Kedusha, instead of living from holiness, I'm living from total evil. Okay? And he says, even if you don't do big fat sins, you do a lot of little sins. A lot of little sins can do more damage. Remember, a lot of little clouds could do more damage than one big cloud. And he says, how much more so when you do sins, that are like Avodah Zarah, he says, like anger is like idol worshipping and, you know, all this stuff. So therefore he says like this, a person needs to realize not to do it to somebody else, but to themselves, and not to be depressed, because later the Alter Rebbe will say, this itself causes you to be happy. To think how low we are, and how far we are removed and separated from Hashem, that we need to do tshuva. So he said, mamish, the last four words on the page. L'chein, sidra v'kir shema l'amita, therefore in the Krishma, before going to sleep, if you say the whole thing over there, it says, we accept upon ourselves the four deaths that the courts kill you with. Skila, stoning, sreifa, burning, hereg, beheading with a sword, and chenik is choking. Okay, he says, why? Milvad shal pi asod, besides the fact what's mentioned in Kabbalah, kol ha-poigim ba'eis yud shal shem Hashem, whoever blemishes the yud. Okay, there's four capital punishments, right? Skila, sreifa, hereg, and chenek. Like we said, stoning, burning, beheading, and choking. They correspond with the four letters of Hashem's name. And it says if you blemish the letter Yud, it's like you get skila. If you pray him the ace hey, the letter hey of Hashem's name, it's like you're getting, you need to get burning. Ba'ez Vav is like you get headache beheading. Uba'ez hey achreina, and the last hey is like you get chenik. In other words, in the Siddur, it goes through, and choking. Okay, in the Siddur by Krishma Lamita, it says like this. If I blemish the letter Yud of Hashem's name by not reading the Shema properly, the Hey is by not doing Tefillin, plays 145 if you look in the Siddur. The letter Vav is Tzitzis. The last Hey is Davening. So these things blemish the various different letters of Hashem's name. And because he blemished the letter of Hashem's name, it's like you're getting skila. So what are we saying in that? He says, Hamavato Krishma, like he says, that's what it says in the Siddur. If you don't do Krishma, it's like you blemish the Ois Yod of Hashem's name. Tfilin is the letter Hey. Tzitzis, the letter Vav. And Tfilin Davening, the Ois Hey. So he says, because, again, this gets the person to feel how low they felt. They fell, not felt, how low they fell, that they actually is chayiv to get burning and stoning and beheading and choking. You know, it's very interesting, by the way. The skila wasn't they put you up in front of stones. Stoning, they threw you off a two-story shaft. If you didn't die, they put a stone on your head.
That's it?
If you still didn't die, then they stoned you.
Then they stoned you.
Sreifa is not that they burn you in the kiln. The stakes that they used to do it. Burning, what they would do is they would force your mouth open. Listen. And they would make you drink hot lead. Burning hot lead.
I'm not accepting any of these before I go to bed.
So we're going to go over it again. And then chenek is they chopped your head off with the sword. And chenek is again, they tied a thick shmat around your neck, and two people pulled at the other end. These are Dalet Mises Bezdin. So he says that so a person can understand how low they fall by doing averus that would get these types of punishments. By the way, drinking hot lead killed you instantaneously rather than getting burnt at the stake, which is much, much, much more torturous. Huh? The Gemara says, a Bezdin that killed somebody with capital punishment once every 7 years. One opinion says 70, but the halacha is 7. One rabbi said, if I would be in the Bezdin, nobody would ever get killed. But the Gemara says, if somebody, a Bezdin that did it more than once in 7 years, was called a killing Bezdin. But you see in the Gemara tells cases, in Torah you find cases. Mekesha Shaitan, the guy that was gathering the wood on Shabbos, the guy that...
And what happened?
They killed him with skila. And the Mekalel, the one that cursed Hashem, also was capital punishment. But you see clearly in Chumash that they got that death sentence. Anyway. Okay, let's finish this paragraph. From this, any intellectual person is able to learn for all the other aveis of what you really brought upon yourself. And not learning Torah, which he said is an aveda that Hashem forgives all other sins except learning Torah. Because what's the Alter Rebbe saying in this parak? The Alter Rebbe is explaining how does a person awaken himself to do tshuva. So first, he does two things. Number one, you need to awaken mercy on yourself. You need to come to Hashem and say, listen, look what I did. I messed up. I fell down very low. My neshama comes from a super lofty place. It falls all the way down into the garbage and everything else. And God help. That's basically, you awaken Achmanis. And he says, the second aspect is to break evil. The whole existence of evil, remember we learned this, the whole existence of evil is only the fact that it thinks itself to be something. Because evil really is a non-existent entity, like darkness. Evil is darkness, right? The opposite of life and light. Okay, what's darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. What's unique about darkness? If you think about it, darkness is nothing. Light is more something than darkness. Light is something. Darkness is absence of light. Yet we all know darkness is very powerful. People are afraid of the dark. It's very scary. But reality is, it's nothing. You bring in a tiny candle into a very dark room, you automatically dispel a lot of the darkness. So the same thing, evil. The whole existence of evil is only this, that evil thinks it's an existence. Because really the only existence is Hashem. So he says, so what makes evil evil? The haughtiness of evil, the lack of the fact that it's batul, it's not batul to Hashem. So therefore, how do you get rid of evil? By showing that evil is really nothing. And he went through the process in the whole parak Zion, how to do it? By realizing that you did a sin, look what you did, and you have to break your broken spirits, and you know, you need to have a broken heart, and that's the way you get rid of the evil. And that stimulates the person to do tshuva. I'll give you an example. An addicted person, an addict, will only go for help when they hit rock bottom. As long as they think there's hope, they won't go for help. And in a similar way, real tshuva, and really any Aveda does this, real tshuva is when you realize that I hit rock bottom of distance from Hashem. Because any Aveda is spiritual murder, which is worse than physical murder. We anyway live X amount of years, so you die earlier, it's a little bit earlier. Spiritual death is permanent until you do tshuva. So the person realizes that any aveda that they do really hits rock bottom. So if a person thinks, as long as they think, I'm okay, I'm still good, they'll never do tshuva. You need to have the broken heart and the realization, as Alter Rebbe explained in this parak, how far the person fell by committing any aveda whatsoever, and therefore they hit rock bottom, or they feel that they hit rock bottom, and that's going to stimulate to do tshuva. Because otherwise, the person won't be stimulated to do tshuva. It might be fake news tshuva, but real tshuva is only when you realize what you did. How bad it was. And then the person gets stimulated to do tshuva. Okay, so now Parakhaz Alter Rebbe continues. He says, V'inei, after delving the mind into this whole concept of what they accomplished by sinning and how terrible it was and so on, then you're able to request from the, truthfully, that means you mean it, from the depth of the heart, with your great mercy Hashem, erase my sins. You must, in order to have real tshuva, to really mean it, you need to have from the depth of the heart that you say, I'll give you an example. You say, Ashamnu, yeah? Ashamnu, Baganu, I sinned. You can sing it in different ways. One way is, Ashamnu means I sinned, yeah? You could say like this. You can confess. You can say the word, I sinned. But you can say like this. You could do it, like they say, how you sing it. I could say, yeah, I sinned, and I'm planning to do it again. You said I sinned, but that ain't no confession. Because you're saying, I'm going to do it again. Then you can have another way of singing it. The guy says the same words, I sinned. But he comes along and he says, I sinned? He said, I sinned. But he's like, I sinned? That's not confession either. Yes, you said the words, you went through the motions, you said, I sinned. But the Alter Rebbe says, you want to do it be'emes? You want to do it with truth? Then you really have to say, Ashamnu, I sinned, and I realized what terrible thing I did by sinning. And therefore, Hashem, with your infinite mercy, erase my sin.
Why do we say we, rather than I? Why do we say we?
Misery likes company.
But why should I include other people in what I did?
Because, let me ask you, I'm going to ask you, I'll be Jewish, I'll answer you with a question. Tzadikim, this is said about the Arizal, but tell me, you Rebbe, Tzadik, right? The Arizal said, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gazalnu. He also said, Al-Chet, okay? Now the Arizal didn't Ashamnu, and he didn't Boganu, and he didn't Gozalnu. Okay? The Arizal was a tzaddik. A very great tzaddik. Why is he saying Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu? We should say it, not him. No. Because we're all one unit. Our sins affect the Arizal. So when the Arizal says Ashamnu, because he was in the Shama Kloli, he was the head that includes the whole body in him. Everybody's sins affect the Arizal, the Tzaddik. So Ashamnu, we say, because we are all collectively involved in sin. Remember we said when we were learning the Halacha, whatever it was, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebeza. Remember we just learned right now tonight, yeah, you can make Kavdal Kiddush for somebody else because you're responsible for them. But last week we were learning, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebeza means we're mixed. Arevim doesn't only mean responsible, it also means mixed. It means sweet. It means mixed. That's what the word Arev means. We are all mixed. We are one body. You sin, I'm affected. I sin, you're affected. They sin, we're affected. So when you confess, it's the nation because we're all one body. So it's multiple sins. Yes.
So if we want to maximize our teshuva, do we have a broken heart to the degree, to as much as we can, as long as it does not affect our divine service and us taking on more mitzvot, more alachot?
Yes, 100%. But as we'll learn later, not today, but later on, the Alter Rebbe explains, that itself causes joy. Okay, depression is anti-Hasidic. It's anti-Jewish, really. Okay, being depressed is not exactly what Hasidic is all about. If a person knows, and Alter Rebbe is going to say this later, it's really remarkable. As low as I am, as bad as I am, if I ask forgiveness, there is no question of a doubt, halachically, that Hashem forgives me. Now, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, in Slach Lanu Avinu, you know, the brach we say, okay. We say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chanun, the merciful one, Hamarba L'Sloach, which means, does an abundance of forgiveness. Now, just think for a minute. If I hurt you once, and I'll ask you forgiveness, you'll forgive me. I do it again and again and again, and I'll ask you forgiveness, it's going to be very difficult for you to forgive me. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
Why? Because our patience is limited, our forgiveness is limited. Once, yeah, twice, maybe, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But Hashem's forgiveness, Hashem's patience, is unlimited. So therefore, and the Alter Rebbe says later, a very interesting halacha. If there's a doubt, you're not allowed to make a bracha. Because you might be saying God's name in vain. Right? So any suffix brachas, when there's a doubt, whether you don't make a bracha. Here, a Jew is saying three times a day, if you daven Shachris Mincha Maariv, Baruch Atah Hashem, with Hashem's name, that you forgive us. If there would be any doubt, halachically, if Hashem forgives us or not, we wouldn't be allowed to make the bracha. Because a doubtful bracha you can't make. The fact that a Jew, with definitiveness, says three times a day, Baruch Atah Hashem, with Hashem's name, that you are forgiving us, that means there is no question in the world that God is forgiving us. Because now we couldn't say the bracha. Correct? So you can imagine, this chassidic spin on this whole tshuva bit. Yeah, you have to be upset that you sinned. You have to be, not depressed, you have to be embittered from the fact that you fell so far away from Hashem. But now comes tshuva, which is a major serving of Hashem, and it says, Ivdos Hashem b'simcha. So tshuva definitely has to be b'simcha. So what are we knowing? Why am I happy? Because I know, when I do tshuva, there is no question I get forgiven. You know what? Great. That's pretty good. In other words, a Jew says, yes, well, obviously you have to understand that you really fell low. Okay? When a Jew understands how low they fell by sinning, suicide, murder, killing themselves spiritually, and yet at the same time a Jew is about to do tshuva, and he says, 1 minute, look how kind Hashem is to me, that as bad as I am, if I ask forgiveness and I mean it, if you don't mean it, then you're not asking for it. Hashem definitely forgives me. He said, that's cause for joy. What?
That's between you and Hashem. What if it's somebody did something to, what if somebody hurt someone?
They have to get their forgiveness first.
And that person died that day. And yeah. They can't get their forgiveness.
No, there's halachas. What do you do? Go to the grave and ask forgiveness. There's halach and shchunach and chazim kippur.
I got on a plane and they flew to Sweden and they died there. Then you have to go to Sweden.
Well, you gather a million of people at the place where you did it, and you ask forgiveness for him from them. There was once, it was Tavshin Choches, 1968. There was, Pashas told us, there was an Aguda convention in New York. And one of the big rabbis of the Aguda got up, and he said that Lubavitch is like Yitzchak Avinu. Well, he said in a derogatory way. He said, Lubavitch is like Yitzchak Avinu. Why did Yitzchak love Esav? Because he gave him food. That's what it says. Ki tzayit befiv, because Esav would give Yitzchak good food. So he says like this. Just like Yitzchak loved Esav, because Esav gave him food, Chabad loves the non-religious people because they give him money. That's what the guy got up at a good convention. That Shabbos, I was at that Verbrengen, I remember the Verbrengen, I was much younger than I am today, it was 1968. I was younger then.
Yeah.
As long as you understand that.
Yes.
And the Rebbe said, first of all, the Rebbe said, thank you for comparing Lubavitch to Yitzchak. It's a great compliment. You're comparing Lubavitch to Yitzchak, that's a great compliment. And then the Rebbe lashed out. And the Rebbe said that Rosh Yeshiva has to go to Eretz Yisrael, he has to go to Maris HaMachpelah, where Yitzchak is buried, and he has to ask forgiveness from Yitzchak Avinu for embarrassing Yitzchak Avinu by saying that Yitzchak loved Esav because he gave him food. And the Rebbe was screaming that he has to go to Maris HaMachpelah and he has to ask Yitzchak forgiveness. And the Rebbe said, what is the real interpretation of he gave him food? Like the Arizal says, because Yitzchak saw in Esav the future Roman converts whose Torah is Rabbi Akiva, Unkelis, Rabbi Meir, they all came from Gedim. Right? And the whole Torah is based on the teaching of Rabbi Akiva. So the Arizal writes, Tzayit b'fiv means there was food in his mouth, the mouth of Torah that his future generations were going to learn. So the Rebbe said, a chutzpah that you can get up and speak against Yitzchak Avinu, that he loved Esav because he gave him food, you have to go to Maris HaMachpelah and ask Mechila. The next Shabbos, the Rebbe Verbrengen, the Rebbe said, somebody asked me a question, that's l'chayr, not the halacha. Because the halacha says, you don't have to go to Maris HaMachpelah to ask forgiveness. You could do something else. You get the same setting of where you embarrassed him, and in the same setting, you ask him forgiveness. So why did the Rebbe say, this is what they asked the Rebbe, why did he say you have to go to Maris HaMachpelah to get forgiveness from Yitzchak Avinu? He could have done that. So the Rebbe smiled, and the Rebbe said, I was pushing a nice guy. Because for him, to gather those thousands of people that were in that room and get up to basically say, I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, for saying something bad against Yitzchak Avinu, the Rebbe said, you know what? I was a pusher, a nice person. I gave him the other advice that says in Halacha, to go to Maris HaMachpelah, nobody has to know you're going. You go to Maris HaMachpelah and you ask Mechila. Yeah. So there are concepts. Yeah, the Gemara says, come back to your question. You can't get forgiveness from Hashem. If you hurt somebody else, Bein Adam L'Chaveirei, it says in Shechon Aruch, in Ochazin Kippur, you have to ask Mechila from the person that you did it to. Even though at Krishma at night, we say, Arei Nimeichel, I forgive everybody that hurt me. You know, want to be nice guys. Because we want Hashem to forgive us, so we forgive everybody. But yeah, you can't get forgiveness from Hashem unless you get forgiveness from the person that you hurt. But once that's done, then you go to stage two, asking Hashem forgiveness.
If you can find that person, or if you can...
If not, you gather people together that were heard what you embarrassed them with, then you ask forgiveness.
So we do that just before Yom Kippur.
Yeah, you could do it any time. What were you asking?
Hashem forgives us even before we are faced with the same challenge.
If we ask forgiveness, He forgives us. Yeah.
And if we're faced with the same test and we fail, then we have to do teshuva, obviously, again.
We do teshuva again? Mm-hmm. Like we all do. If it would happen once and that's it, we would have one Yom Kippur per lifetime. Why do we have every day Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is every day. We say Tachnun, we say Slachlonu, because the bottom line is that we sin, yeah? Okay, so he says, Ki azai, the third line of the parak. Tikava balibai, because then it's engraved in his heart. Be'emes, truthfully. Because once you realize, again, the addicted person only realizes when he hits rock bottom. Because once you realize how bad you sinned and what happened through the sin, then tikava balibai be'emes, then you will be ingrained and established within you. Gedol ha-Rachmonis, the great mercy, the great pity, al b'chinas alukush benafshei v'shelamayla, and your nefesh. Once you realize how far the nefesh fell, then you're able to have the pity and realize the pity on the person and your own neshama. And therefore, what happens? What do you awaken? You awaken Hashem's mercy. So therefore, y'ere rachmim al yainim. You awaken the mercy from above of Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, right? 13 attributes of mercy, like we read in last week's Pasha, right? After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for forgiveness. What did Hashem say? The 13 attributes of mercy. So Chassidus in Kabbalah, it's later, but Chassidus explains the 13 attributes of mercy are a level higher than world. It's the infinite level. And because it's the infinite level, it can undo the sin that we did. In other words, oh, by the way, next week there's no class, but in 2 weeks we'll continue. The bottom line is like this. How could tshuva today undo yesterday's sin? Yesterday's in the history book. A week ago, a month ago, a year ago. That's gone. How could something today undo a year ago, a week ago, a month ago? The answer is because tshuva taps into a level which is higher than world, and there is no past, present, or future. It's all simultaneous. And therefore, tshuva today can undo the past, because in that level where tshuva reaches, there's no past, present, or future. It's all the same thing.